Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You son of a bitch. We was talking. You could have decided it when we was talking.
I should have.
You should have. It's like chess. You think on your opponent's time. What the fuck? Now you're wasting clock. Okay. You have to hit the button when you're done. Okay.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back to Pod is War. PC Tony, Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz here. Follow the show at Pod is War right there on ChairShot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. Don't forget to head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up a ChairShot t-shirt. Let's bring them in. They're dancing like a bunch of sophomoric jerk-offs. Oh, Ray.
That should have been the name of the show!
Sophomore jerk-offs. Ray's getting his magic mic on over there.
Hey, I was working. I'm a little sweaty right now. I was working hard.
Welcome back, guys. How are we doing?
Good thing, man. Good. Good to see my boys.
Good it's deal. Been a minute.
It's been a minute since we've been on the airwaves. We've all been on the airwaves, though. I would say, sure. What, we got a little NBA, a little NFL, maybe some wrestling here today. That should be a nice little agenda. The idea to record on a Friday came from the Patreon-esque text conversation we had, was it last night, about how Tom Thibodeau is a set your team up and write their culture and then pull the rug out from him once you think you have a chance to actually get to the finals. Before we get to that, let's talk about the NBA Finals. Pacers up 2-1, Ray. We got game 4 tonight in Indiana. I don't think anybody expected a 3-1 Pacers lead after game 4, and that could very much be a possibility after tonight as we record Friday early evening.
So, you got to be careful when you listen to gambling spreads because there's always a point behind them, and Oklahoma City by far was ahead, and the spread was ridiculous in terms of how many games was going to go. How many points Oklahoma City will score. Like, Indiana, since January, has been the second best team in the league, second to Oklahoma City. They have scored more points than anybody in the league since January. This is where, if this was around the horn, Tony Reale would give me points for these stats. Like, Indiana has been, quiet as kept, the right up there with Oklahoma City as the best team in the NBA. So this is not a surprise. The only surprise involved here is that Oklahoma City's vaunted defense didn't travel to Indiana. I'm not surprised that Indiana's up 2-1. I'm surprised Oklahoma City was out Oklahoma City in game 3, right? We know they're the cardiac kids, right? So you can't leave them within 10 points going into the fourth. Game 1, Oklahoma City punched him in the mouth. It should have been done. Halley did what he does with the Halliburton, right? Game 2 was a bit of a different story. Oklahoma City did what they do best. I don't think any team this playoffs has had more big double-digit leads than Oklahoma City has. They are dominant when they're willing to play. But this is the concern a lot of us had about Oklahoma City as a team. Is Daigneault prepared enough to be at this level and coach and make the appropriate changes? Kaysen Wilder starting was one of those changes that was a little iffy at first, but has shown to work out for them. But also, Shai, all-time great year. One of the best years a guard has ever seen in the history of – we're talking back to George Mikan and the Plumbers years. One of the best years a guard has ever had. But is there somebody else in that squad you say, I need a bucket, they can get it? J-Dub has been great, but is he that guy? Chet is lucky if he gets 14 points in a game. So this is what we were concerned about when you got guys over in Oklahoma – in Indiana, Ben Mathurin, shout-out to the U of A, my boy don't even play for 20 minutes, and he dropped 27. The teams are just built so different, and they're giving you 48 minutes of hell versus just running gun 7 seconds or less offense. Offense winning right now.
Well, I think that was the most surprising part of game three for me, is that I agree with your point that the Thunder didn't come play the game, but the game they didn't play was the bench game. Like, their bench is usually a lot better than everybody else's, and they got bounced. Like, their fucking heads got bounced off the court. Like, you brought up Mathurin. I was going to bring him up too, so I'm glad you hit that at the end. Like, who the fuck is he for 27 points? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Halliburton had, what, 22 or 24 that game? That's expected. But, like, 27 out of nowhere. Well, yeah, yeah. But, like, 27 out of nowhere, and then you have, like, Caruso coming up with nothing, and the bench didn't really help, so you got to wonder, are the Thunder going to bounce back? Or are they showing their youth, and they're just going to kind of crumble, thinking it would have been easier? And I think the other thing I've noticed lately about NBA situations is it feels like the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, the number one team doesn't dominate like they used to. Like, you used to kind of be able to just chalk it up to what Vegas said and to what everybody else thought. Like, all right, when the Warriors were going hard for, like, that span of, what, 7 years, you figured they were going to win unless something crazy happened. And that year that, you know, Draymond gets fucking ejected because he's an idiot and then, you know, misses a game and then they can't get back on. Then KD gets hurt. Fucking Clay got hurt. That makes sense why they lost, because, like, they started getting old, started getting banged up. That was, but when they were at 100%, no one could touch them. And, it, you know, that made sense. And I feel like it hasn't been that way, because the Celtics have been, what, the best team in the East for the last 6 years? They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals or the championship almost every year for, like, the last 5 or 6 years. They got one ring out of it. There's something a little fishy about that one. You know what I mean? Like, how can the best team in the NBA not feel like the best team in the NBA anymore? Like, when the Celtics dominated, sometimes people would catch them, but more often than not, the Celtics dominated. The Lakers, the Bulls,
because
you know.
You're in a transitional period as far as superstars of the league go, right? You're exiting out of LeBron and Steph and moving into, you know, and you're also exited out of, like, Harden and things of that nature, former MVPs, right? We're in the Jokic, even maybe moving away from that slowly now. It's more Tatum. Tatum gets hurt, though, right? Look at Cleveland. They had a great year. They were hurt in the playoffs. So I get what you're saying, but I think
more widespread.
I think,
you know what I mean?
Injuries and the fact that those main guys who you talked about having those types of dominant runs, they're over 35 years old now. Some of them for a while.
But even going back to what I was saying before, it was still that same transitional situation. Like, you know, Bill Russell was dominant, then he left, and then it was like Magic and Kareem, and then they kind of dominated. And then Larry Bird and Magic kind of did their thing. Then Jordan kind of did his thing, and then Kobe and Shaq kind of did their thing. There's always a transitional period, but there's always somebody to kind of take the reins and lead the league. It feels like the last, I'm going to just say 5 to 10 years, roughly, nobody's taken the lead, because it's like, Joker's only got one. Giannis has one.
Well, yeah, but those are the best teams winning, though. Like, LeBron is right behind them, too. And behind that is Kawhi. So for 4 years in a row, the best player in the league with the best record, I think, won the championship. I think the Bucks were a 3 seed. But the Bulls weren't a 1 seed.
I'm not saying it like a negative,
though,
Tony. Yeah. I hope you're not taking
it like
a bitch.
I'm just disagreeing with you. I get if you want to start with since, what, 20... Well, I don't know.
Since the Warriors,
I don't know, because the best team won it last year. too.
But you're saying best team, and you're right. Both of you are right. Best team in terms of that year. I think what Andrew was talking about is dominance over time. That one Correct. Team you can guarantee that's dominating the league for years at a time.
Yeah, it's been we haven't had that. It's been since the Warriors have the last team to repeat. And, you know, you get spoiled thinking about it, too, that LeBron James basically ruled the Eastern Conference for, what, a dozen years?
At least.
It was LeBron versus the West. He was in the finals every year.
It was 8 straight finals, right?
Something like that. And then conference finals was even more ridiculous. It was like 15 or something.
But I do appreciate, like, the both conference finals this year was like, there's been this undercurrent in NBA talk and basketball talk about who are the next superstars, who's next up. And the conference finals really had a chance to show, with respect to Tatum, because I think they would have been there had he not got hurt, who, like, the next guys up are. Brunson, Holly, Shea, and Anthony, and Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're with respect to Giannis, with respect to Jokic, with respect to people like Embiid, I'm going to throw Luka in there with the guard standpoint. We're moving back to a guard.
Well, Luka's a big part of
the dominant game.
Luka's a big part of the new regime, right?
For sure.
I think For you sure. can take – I don't think Embiid belongs anywhere near that conversation.
I don't think so either, but he got MVP. I'm with you.
From that point, but Rez, as of now, though, like that guy, he couldn't stay on the court if he could lay down in the fucking Pepsi outfield chair. You know what I'm saying?
He's Derrick Rose. He had his moment, and he couldn't capitalize. Yeah. But I think this is good for basketball. And number one, I really want to look at what the ratings are going to look like, but I can tell you this.
Game one was one of the biggest, most highest watched NBA Finals game ever.
Thank you for telling me. I didn't know. I can tell you watching the games, this is the most fun I've had watching a finals unbiasedly since our teams played Phoenix and Milwaukee. Unbiasedly, probably since 2018.
No, that's fair. And I think the point I was kind of driving towards was, do you guys think we're ever going to get back to that dynastic aspect of basketball? Or are we in such a weirdly spread out that there's a little bit of talent everywhere, then it's just whoever catches fire at the right point? Because basketball's been dynasty-based for fucking, 60 years now?
Sure. The funny thing is, though, like the super team became your dynasty, right? Like that's how LeBron's dynasty was with the super team. And then that's how the Warriors extended it, right? By bringing KD in. So for two out of those four, they were a super team. Now it's almost cliche and out of style to go join another. Like, think about Giannis. The biggest news item in the NBA offseason, besides the draft, is just Giannis want to trade. Well, let me tell you guys, Giannis doesn't want to trade. The Milwaukee Bucks won't trade Giannis unless Giannis asks him to trade him. He's not going anywhere. It's just a shams made up story. Like, it's not made up, but it's like, this is something they need to talk about in the offseason because the NFL dominates so much that they need to make up these different things. Why don't you talk about where KD could land? Why don't you talk about things of that nature? Guys who are actually going to change teams next year.
Well, that is one of the major things they're talking about.
That has been lately, yeah.
Yeah, and I understand you're the Milwaukee person here, so you would know more watching. Giannis is leaving. It may not be this year, but he's leaving. But to the answer ultimately about the dynasty thing is simple. Adam Silver changed the rules. With this second apron in the tax, it's killing teams. So it's one thing when teams, you know, had the one luxury tax and, all right, I got to pay an extra $60 million. Okay, cool. I'm paying $60 million to my backup point guard. But now you're going to be paying $250 million over the cap.
It's
on top. It's just ridiculous. Now, so it behooves
it's baseball
them.
Money.
Exactly. So it behooves them to build teams traditionally the old ways. Because look at all the teams we've seen in the top four, right? The cat thing was a big trade, but other than that, all of the teams has been built primarily through the draft or traded for a draft pick in their second or third year.
It's turned into kind of like NFL capping and roster, because you need to have a really good young player on a cheap contract, and you need to keep the players that get better because you're allowed to pay them more without being penalized because of the Bird exception. So, like, it's really – and you know what, Andrew? It's funny because this all comes full circle right here, is because Adam Silver wanted more of a league like Pete Rozelle did, right? He wants that to be up and down, changing all the time. Everybody's equal. Like, there's could always be a different champion. I don't know. I like dynasties too, but we'll see. It's interesting.
I give Adam Silver a pass for this one point. I am always going to be pro player. Always. But they went too far and how much they wanted to dominate and control what happened. Mm-hmm. The Kevin Durant situation when he was in Brooklyn and he re-signed that offseason. And literally the very, not even 3 months later, y'all want to trade. You can't build a roster from the second they want to go. Like, and they have the right to want to be traded. But like, when you're making these deals and you're making these commitments and you're trying to prepare and build 2, 3, 4 years out, and your best players are saying, nah, son, I'm good. I want to go play with my homie over there on the other coast. What are you supposed to do? If you don't trade him, you're not going to get another good guy. He'll leave for nothing. And then if you don't trade them and he leaves for nothing, you're left out there. And teams are like, well, you're not player friendly, so we're not going to go to you anyway. You're screwed. So
it's a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation. So I feel for him in the sense that he felt he had to help do something. Not too dissimilar from the All-Star game and how they're changing it to some permutation of USA versus world. They're trying to fix things that are broken. I can
at least they're
that.
Trying, unlike the NFL.
I can appreciate that, unlike baseball.
I have a really good idea for the All-Star game. So they have two conferences. One's the East Conference, and then they have a West Conference. They're both on each sides. And these
this
conferences,
is revolutionary.
When they start the playoffs for their league, actually, the postseason, an Eastern Conference team can't even play a Western Conference team until the actual championship round.
Wow.
So why not halfway through the season, let's have the best guys from that Western Conference and the best guys from that Eastern Conference, and they just play a game. Why don't we just do that?
Wait, hold on. I don't understand what you're saying. I gotta write this down.
Yeah.
So you're saying the guys that play on the Eastern Conference who are the best, and the guys who play on the Western Conference who are the best play each other?
Yeah.
It's
how would you
crazy.
Figure out who would play?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Who's the best? How do you figure that out?
I just pick people.
Who's the best? Jordan. Jordan's the best.
Okay, well, I agree there, but that's not the point.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. Let's get into the epic conversation that we had last night.
One half a second timeout because you brought it up and I wanted to kind of just ask both your opinions. Do you consider the Warriors a super team or a built team? Because they won two with KD and two without, and they won one before. So, but if you had to look back in the lens of history, because history is never bipartisan like that to say both, they're going to label somebody something one way or the other.
So Ray and R's answer would be no, yes, yes, no.
But still, so are they a super team or
no,
are they?
Yes, yes, no. You want to ask me again? Ask me again. No, yes,
Ray,
yes, no.
Ray,
no,
give
yes,
a
yes,
more
no.
eloquent answer, please.
Ah, no, yes, yes, no.
Oh, God.
That's a cancelable answer right there. Jesus
Get
Christ.
Get out of here, dude. This is a comedy podcast.
I don't see the cats in your screen either, Tony. You better watch yourself.
I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry right now either. Listen, I'm a fan of Kill Tony. This is a wrestling, sports, and comedy podcast. So the whole network is. And if you've never listened to Pod is World before, congratulations, you're having a great time.
Bitch, I know, but I'm looking for a marginally more eloquent answer than yes, no, maybe both.
the answer, unfortunately, is both. You can't separate it. This is going to be the one caveat in there because they were built. And the difference is this is much like this. Forgive the connection here. Get to rock with me. This is like the 68 Celtics, in that all those guys were built.
Yeah.
Casey Jones, Sam Jones, Havlicek, Cousy,
yep.
Russell, 8 of them dudes in the Hall of Fame. They were drafted.
Yeah, you're going too old for Tunney. He's checking out. He hates when things happen before the 80s.
My bad. What? I sound like Mad Dog Russo right now. My bad.
I'm older than both of you.
But you hate when we talk about anything before the Cold War.
No, what? Okay, yeah. Andrew, you're, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Ray, keep talking.
Okay, except music, I forgot. Yes, you like music from before the Cold War.
Can you
but
mute
sports?
Andrew?
No!
It's not true! These are total fabrications.
When you look back on the Warriors, you have two guys.
I thought he was going to say when you look back on the war.
back in World War II.
Yeah. If you look back on that. Right, I was only a boy. When you look back on the team, you have two guys that are in the top 15 all time, maybe top 10. You have another guy that is definitely top 100 of all time. Should have been top 75. That's another conversation. Draymond is top 20 all time defenders. If you think, yes, he is. Defenders.
You said defenders.
I was waiting for the word to come after all time. That's all.
Right.
And I was on the same page as Tony. I was waiting for you to finish your thought. No, yeah.
And then you have all-time role players. Iggy is all-time role player.
Oh, yeah.
John Livingston is all-time role player. Like, you have – so when you look at the team, it'd be different if it was just Steph and the boys. Like, you have legit greatness on that squad. So while they were built, they also were a super team because they had multiple superstars at the same time.
Well, I think they're a super team for 2 years because they had Kevin Durant.
But they could have been considered a super team before Kevin Durant. That's the thing.
No, and see, I
wouldn't consider it
before
KD because they were homegrown.
Yeah, that's where That's what I.
Both two things can be right.
Because that's like
about
Jordan
he's
and
talking
Pippen.
About,
would you consider the Bulls in the 90s a super team?
He's talking about you put Rodman on there, not the first run, but the second run. Kukoc and Rodman get added.
I mean, Kukoc,
you don't win
Europe was still a new thing.
But you're not a super team. That's not by accident.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think Andrew's definition of super team.
This is my point. This is why I asked the question, because now you two were arguing when you wanted to give
me all pissy answers.
Andrew
is saying a super team is when guys who are not drafted into all decide to come together in free agency. Ray is calling calling a super team a team with a big three.
Yes.
So it's like the big three Celtics and the Heat would be a super team to me because they weren't drafted. And the way I parse through the Warriors, because we were talking about the Warriors specifically, I don't consider them a super team because when KD got added, that was more like a bad look on KD to just join the team that's winning. It really looked like a win more, like a bandwagon kind of situation.
Join the team.
And I know a lot of fans thought of it that way too, but I wouldn't look at it negatively for the Warriors. I would look at it more for Durant was ring chasing, and that's why he went to them, because they didn't really need him. It helped. It made them more dominant. Yes, I'm not saying he didn't play a factor, but I don't think it changes the definition of who the Warriors are.
I don't look down on LeBron or KD for joining any whatever team they want. The NBA, first and foremost, is a business. The people you work for will treat you like that, and you need to treat it like that yourself. There's something to be said for guys who play their whole career in one place and are super successful. That's great. But I don't think you can hold it against LeBron. You can hold it against LeBron the way he did it. The decision was fucking ridiculous, and how he did Cleveland like that was kind of stupid. But everything else, I don't hold it against him.
The KD smoke is fair only because he went to the team that they lost to.
That's rough, but sometimes if you can't beat him, join him, man. I mean,
well, and that's the thing.
I mean,
nobody would begrudge him if he left and went anywhere else.
True,
but they were the better team. They were up 2-0 in that series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that
like,
team was also
you would have brought it back.
That OKC team was also not staying together, regardless of if KD stayed there or not.
Well, so let's you want to get into
no,
it?
No, let's get. We have a whole bunch of other.
Let's
stuff
talk about
there.
It.
No,
we're gonna hit the let's talk about it section.
No.
Yes, let's talk about it.
No, we have a whole other fucking conversation that could eat up an entire half an hour right fucking now. But we still got NFL before we get to wrestling. So no.
You act like we actually have a schedule. Come on. We throw this shit together in like 5 minutes, put it in a blender, and say talk.
What are we talking about today?
let's talk about the conversation we had last night, because I think it's going to be really interesting to listen to. And it's an easy transition, because the very team we're just talking about, the Warriors, had a guy who Ray brought up, who could coach the team we're about to talk about, got taken out Thibodeau style, and Kerr came in and won all the championships, right? Mm-hmm. So, Thibodeau's gone. We brought up at the beginning of the show, it's a guy who gets your culture right, and then you move him on. Jason Kidd was kind of that guy for the Milwaukee Bucks, to be honest with you. There's other guys in this league who have been that coach before they've turned into a different type of coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Mark Jackson's the solution in New York. I don't know who the hell knew was going to coach in New York. Coach Carter reportedly did turn them down, Ray.
Yeah, he's too busy trying to unlock his gym. Where he's at right now.
What about Will Ferrell? Jackie, whatever the fuck? From
Jackie Moon? Jackie
there
Moon.
We go. You think he'd be able to
He ain't
coach?
Got no money to buy in. If he don't own it, he ain't coaching.
True.
So first, there's two conversations. Number one, the tips conversation is one that we can focus on. The second one is you alluded to something about essentially who is the right pick for the Knicks. I don't think you have to find the best coach in the world. I think you have to find the right coach for that team. And that's why I think Mark Jackson is the right coach for that team, for those players on that squad. I think he's right for them. He's also from New York. He understands New York. He understands what it means to win in New York. Remember, we remember him as a Pacer, but he was drafted for the Knicks.
Stan Van and Jeff.
And win is a stretch for
Stan and Jeff Van Gundy assistant coaches.
Do it. And keep Rick Brunson. That's it. You got it.
Well, I think Brunson's staying no matter what.
For sure.
Jalen's dad's going to be there. And Jalen's dad is a guy who went to Thibodeau multiple times. Like, hey, yo, you got to give these players a rest.
That was one of the points I was making last night to Andrew.
You were?
About why Tibbs, audibly, people were annoyed or bothered by him at the least, angered by him at the most. The assistant coach would literally go to him at least once a week on demonstrably while the team play it, while the game is going, and say, you need to sit these motherfuckers down.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see him pout. He would cross his arms and then say, you know, come on. And you'd see three guys come off the bench and he would look at the guys sitting down. And you can see Mikal Bridges sometimes look up and say, thank you.
Yeah, that was the main point of our back and forth that I wasn't going to argue, because, as I said, with the Derrick Rose situation, which I think one of you brought him up earlier, I'm never going to forgive Thibodeau for that, is getting him injured in garbage time. So, like, I know Tibbs runs his starters too fucking long most of the time. I just also look at it from the fact of, The Bulls was egregious, so I understand why he got let go there. That's different. But, like, Timberwolves, he was a get-right guy, as Tony kind of put it, and he got them pretty good after they sucked for a while, and then he gets fired, and they go back to kind of sucking. And then, like, the Knicks, same thing. They were irrelevant for so fucking long, and now they're at the doorstep. Yes, he got out-coached. That was a wonderful point by you, Ray, last night. But, like, he still got them further than they've been since, like, 1999. So, like...
So, can I make a point to you that's going to be very salient?
Go.
I think Tom Thibodeau is the Wade Phillips of the NBA.
Ooh. Ooh.
He is a defensive genius. One of the best defensive minds we've ever seen in the NBA, on the coaching staff, ever. And
but
he
not
wins.
A winner.
He wins a lot of games. But when it comes down to it, uh-huh. He is not a head coach who can make the right decisions in basketball, make the right timeouts, make the right challenges, make the right adjustments, make the right substitutions. That is not who he is. There is no coach, even fucking Phil Jackson, no coach is so great that you can say, I don't care what my roster is, we're running this offense. We're running this.
Don't tell that to Riley.
Even Pat. Dwayne Wade changed the way he coaches.
No,
go back
right.
to 06.
You're not wrong.
06 is not Riley ball.
Right? Riley still had that aura about him for a very long time.
He kept the toughness.
Yes.
But Showtime in LA was not the bully ball of the 90s in New York.
You're like, right.
He would change based on the roster he had. But Charles Oakley is your second best player. It's a little different than when your second best player is Cap. It's a little different.
Yeah. Well, you got Charles Oakley and Derek Mason. Yeah, you're gonna play a little different.
Yeah, you're a different.
Even Ewing wasn't exactly a pushover too. So
here's the thing about that 06 team too. You had Eric Spoelstra's fingerprints all over that. He was already in the film room and a highly valued assistant from his opinion. So you already had a lot of Eric Spoelstra things happening there. Adjustments.
And don't forget.
Executed adjustments ahead that were planned ahead of time, things of that nature. Like, there's a reason Spoelstra's still around and longest tenured, maybe one of the best underrated coaches of all time.
For sure. Great point. Great point. And Stan Van was the coach that year until Pat said, "Nah, son."
Right.
I got it.
Yep. He's like, "Oh, I don't think I'm going to win this. I'm going to win this fifth title for me."
But no coach is just that great where you can say, "Fuck it, I'm going to do what I do. I don't care who's
then
that."
Then why has nobody figured out how to bridge out of Thibodeau? Because he's been around for a long fucking I don't know exactly when he started, but it's probably somewhere around 15 years now.
Because these rosters that he's gotten out of just weren't ready to win championships. The Knicks, I just said, the Knicks doesn't matter who they get as a coach. It doesn't matter if you trade Cat for KD. I think that's an improvement too, because then Mitchell Robinson gets more time. You're better defensively, even though you're not better with KD defensively, but offensively you're amazing. That still doesn't win a championship. The Pacers and the Thunder will be favored to win their conferences next year, and probably for the next 3 years, because they're young and they've built, and these guys are like top 10 draft picks from like the last 4 or 5 years that have just grown into themselves. Like, the depth on both teams is ridiculous, and they figured out that you need defensive wing depth, and that's what both of these teams have when they need it.
And to your point, I mean this respectfully, you had 14 amazing years with Michael Jordan. Other than that, the Chicago Bulls franchise has been a dumpster fire. We look at
Michael
and think the Chicago Bulls franchise is one of the marquee franchises in basketball, when they are traditionally a team that goes 45 and 40 and 39. They're not a good franchise. They have had great, amazing moments, and they've had really good years spotty. So Chicago is just as bad as they were with him, without him, as they were with him. I disagree with you, Minnesota, because Chris Finch has those guys playing well. Cat getting out of there and changing the way that they're structured, giving Rudy back the paint. Naz Reid shit the fucking bed this year. But otherwise, and Mike Conley is wicked at Bernie's right now out there. Like, God bless him, but he's barely making it. They have, but they are good enough where they got to the conference finals.
Did Finch pick up right after Thibodeau? Because I don't know.
Because
they weren't that good until recently with Ant-Man. You know what I mean? They started figuring out with Ant.
This is his third, fourth year. So, you know, it takes a little time.
Well, didn't Thibodeau get fired in 2019? If this is only Finch's third year, then that means there was somebody between Finch and
I'm talking about Ant-Man.
Okay. I got you. So Finch has been around. It's okay. Because I couldn't remember coming off like that Ricky Rubio bullshit for the Timberwolves, and then when Butler was up there for like half a sandwich again, and then he left. So, like, they were bad for a couple years, and then Ant kind of turned it around.
There was one guy before Ryan Saunders, before Chris Finch. It was Ryan Saunders.
Okay. Because that's kind of where my point stood, is that anybody that picks up after Tibbs kind of trips and falls on his face.
Sure. But also, do you want to know the roster that year?
Probably like Ricky Rubio and nobody.
2019.
Maybe Cat's rookie year? Is Cat been around since 2019?
Cat was drafted in 2018, I want to say.
That's kind of what I was thinking. So Cat's probably on it.
Do you want to know the top? Bates,
yep, Malik Beasley, Jordan Bell, Robert Covington, Alan Crabb, Jared Culver, Gorgie Dieng, Jacob Evans, Trevion Graham, Juancho Hernan Gomez, also better known as Old Boy from Hustle, goddamn Sandler, James Johnson, the Thug, Jake Layman, Keelan Martin, Jordan McLaughlin, Shabazz fucking Napier, Jalen Noel, Josh Okogie, Naz Reid's rookie year, D'Angelo Russell, you know they trash if D'Angelo Russell's on the team. Jeff T, and Cat was actually, this was his fourth year. Jared Vanderbilt, Noah Vonleh, and God bless him, Andrew motherfucking Wiggins. Can you win with that roster?
Now? Yes. Back then, probably not. Wiggins is coming to his own. He's gotten better. Cat's gotten better. Beasley wasn't terrible in his time. You know what I mean?
Jeff Teague is a massively underrated player.
And yeah, I was getting to him too. I like Beasley more than Teague, but I agree with you that Teague's underrated.
Point guard, two guard, but sure.
Yeah, I get you. But and then like what? Fred Hoiberg took up after fucking Thibodeau and fucking Chicago.
Shout out to the mayor. Yeah.
He fucking sucks.
Fuck it. Well, he's a college coach.
Well, yeah.
He should have never left college.
I agree with you, but I'm just saying, like.
He was the 2010s Eric Musselman. Stay your ass in college.
So the point I kind of what I was hinging the point on is why do you bring Tibbs in to change a culture? Why do you bring him in knowing you're going to fire him in like 3 to 5 years, somewhere around that range?
Because and then you never have because somebody you haven't found to, anybody to bring that culture back up. You're desperate. You need to take steps.
But that's my point. How do you not have anybody that can, like, think of like a baton relay race? How do you not have somebody in mind to take the fucking baton and raise them up further? And you just come up with fucking Fred Hoiberg and whoever the fuck Saunderson or whatever the fuck you said in Minnesota, and they just fall on their face and suck.
So I see the way you're looking at it, and I get it. I get it better now talking it out than texting. Mm-hmm. But I disagree with your premise because I don't think they hired him to change the culture. They hired the best fucking coach available.
It just so happened to be him who's kind of problematic to everybody else for the last 15 years.
He's only had three jobs.
But you know what I mean.
Sure, but like, he's only had three jobs, and everywhere else he's been as an assistant, they won. The reason that Doc Rivers won that championship, he is Tex Winters is to, I mean, Tom Thibodeau is to Doc Rivers as Tex Winters is to Phil Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know basketball, you know what I mean. Phil Jackson, they win them championships. Tex Winters won them championships.
Well, I get you. Phil I get Jackson, you 100%.
Phil Jackson is a David Lee Roth, right? We know what it is.
Okay, but he's better than Sammy Hagar. Come on.
He gave him David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth is – okay, yes.
Thank you. Sammy We're not talking Gary Cherone. Everybody's better than Gary Cherone. We're talking Hagar.
If either of you are Sammy Hagar over David Lee Roth, guys, this podcast is about to be over right now.
No, we agree. I'm just giving Sammy some credit.
Okay.
Sammy had a better voice. Yes, you're right. I give you that.
David Lee Roth's better.
We only root for the good guys here, okay?
Yeah, and Diamond Dave's a good guy to me, too. I agree. But
I love the Hills. But the point is...
Cabo Wabo is a lot of fun, by the way. Sammy Hagar's a cool guy.
Look at you, fuckers.
I did. I met him down at Cabo.
I did, too.
Tibbs is a fantastic coach. It's just that... And by the way, this is the thing we didn't talk about last night that gives a lot more context. We're in a world now in the NBA where you can win the coach of the year and the next year you're fired.
In a world where you can win coach of the year and be fired the next year.
You can win a championship and get fired the next year, too.
Thank you, voiceover guy.
This is Adam Silver's NBA.
Wow.
Coming soon to Netflix.
Probably.
Think about it. Dwayne Casey is sitting home right now wondering what the fuck y'all doing. Who else got
Did Nick Nurse win a coach of the year, too?
Nick Nurse, he out of there. Budenholzer. He out of there. Like, just this is what they do. This is what they do.
So you think Tibbs is going to have, because I know I was comparing him to like Coughlin in the NFL. Do you think Tibbs is going to have that moment where he figures, fuck it, let me just try something different and it actually works? Because you brought it up. You just said it. It's only his third job. So even though everybody kind of knows who he is, he doesn't have that necessarily breadth of experience to realize, all right, maybe I'm the one fucking this up.
If Tibbs won Doc that first one, then Tibbs can bring his ass to Milwaukee for this next season. And
you're such a selfish bitch.
Otherwise, well, that or fire Doc and give Darvin Ham the job, because those who the roster actually likes. And speaking of Darvin Ham, be a great candidate for the New York Knicks.
I like Darvin.
I don't like him as a coach. I liked him as a coach until I saw him as a coach.
I think it's a big difference coaching every other team in history besides LeBron James at the age he was at.
You are right, but we do not ever say where's David Blatt, do we? It is what it is, my boy.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying a lot of guys in Milwaukee were mad when Darv left the first time, but what are you going to do?
Go get Adrian Griffin back, because that's the guy you should have.
Well, that team wasn't winning anything. They couldn't play defense to save their life.
They're better than what Doc did with them.
They play defense now, at least. They try. The problem is they should have never traded for Dame.
By the way, if you go back in the archives,
you said that.
I did a few times.
Let's move on to the NFL. How's that sound?
Oh, okay. We done with Tibbs. You got anything else you want to talk about with Tibbs? Because I want your point to be made, because it's a very valid point and good conversation.
No, cause, like I think we kind of touched on it, because my whole point was the fact I don't understand how people keep bringing him in as a bridge guy to change a culture. You make a fantastic point that maybe that wasn't the initial reason they brought him in, and they just picked the best guy on the board, so to speak, and he said yes and signed the contract. But he does that same thing where he at least gets them into a winning mindset, and then he just gets let go. I understand why he got let go in Chicago, because he was his own worst enemy there and fucked that up. Timberwolves feels like it was a little uncalled for, especially given what was on the team, as you already rambled off. And then the Knicks got better the last 2 years, and did he get outcoached? Yeah, but maybe he learned something and he could have done better next year. But the only reasoning I could see, aside from just they don't like him, because that's what all the fucking players say everywhere else he was at. I mean, Butler infamously had issues with him, still went back to him for, you know, Timberwolves for whatever that small stretch was.
Didn't sign with the Timberwolves. He got his ass traded over there. He didn't sign there.
I know, but he still went back to it and still made it work for a little bit. You know what I mean? He didn't bitch as much as he did like at the end of the Heat. But like when he's kind of still that same guy, you still sign him, you still give him that same length, and then you go, people don't like you, goodbye. And you go, don't have a game plan. Like, it's just stupid. And I don't get it.
Let me put it in this perspective and you can move on, Tony. If I'm a manager of an office building, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody in my team or everybody in my company is 30 or younger, and I tell them, I don't like using computers. We're going to do everything analog, write papers down, and use typewriters.
They will quit. Successful? That was my last job. People quit.
Back to you, PC Tunney.
Thank God. Let's move on to the NFL.
Let's talk about Antonio Brown's fight where the guns came flying and now he's getting fucking arrested or house arrest or whatever. Is that what we're talking about?
No.
Why not?
We don't need to talk about Antonio Brown. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Antonio Brown, please.
I'd rather talk about a Steeler that I enjoy talking about, and that's not Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is the best addition to any football team this offseason, period. This guy.
No, say your piece.
This guy. Put your fucking headphones on, Ray.
He switched it to the computer phone.
This guy threw for 28-11, being 40 years old, coming off Achilles surgery. He's in a better situation than he was last year. He's healthy. He has a rapport already with the Steelers, considering we all know the conversation was, you don't want to come to voluntary minicamp. We don't want to hear about you not being at voluntary minicamp. We'll see you after that. And lo and behold, contract signed. Mandatory minicamp, there. Already worked out with teammates, checkbox. Like, they're going to be really good. And this is bad news for Ray. I'm telling you, if they have any semblance of a running game with the little bit of help they've added to the offensive line, and I can't remember the rookie running back's name that they brought in, that they got rid of, Najee Harris. But I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers is going to change the way this offense works. This guy is still one of the best half-dozen quarterbacks in the league, because he came up in a time when you had to put the ball in much tighter spots. You can't you can't close ground on defense like you used to be able to because you can't lead with your head anymore. When you can't just go and you have to be up, you can't cover that ground as quick. Rodgers and Stafford are the last two guys from the era where you had to fit the ball in there. These guys are making easy money, and they're both going to have, they're both going to be near 4,000 yards, at 4,000 yards, and 30 touchdowns.
I hope you're right, especially because if they don't have TJ Watt, then he's going to have to bring something interesting to the offense because that defense can be useless. We see what they're like when there's no TJ. He's the heart, soul, and half the tackle. So I don't know. Aaron Rodgers starts to bring a circus with him last couple of years, like fucking Tebow had, you know, during Tebow time. And it wasn't worth it in New York, and we'll see if it's worth it in, you know, Steeltown. But I'm at the, I got to see it to believe it, and I don't believe it because he looked not great. He looked passable for like a 40-year-old quarterback, but you can't say Tom Brady looked 40 when he was in his 40s. You can't say that Peyton Manning looked bad until his arm fucking literally died. So, just saying.
I disagree. Ray?
Even Dan Marino looked better than Aaron Rodgers towards the end of his career.
Aaron Rodgers came off an Achilles tendon injury last year. 20-something-year-old sucked the first year after that fucking thing. He had better passing numbers than Josh Allen last year. Like, I don't understand where any of that comes from.
And what did the team do?
He was on the Jets, Ray. He was on the fucking Jets.
A better roster than the Jets?
Didn't Zach Wilson win more games than Aaron Rodgers?
When's the last time the Steelers weren't above 500?
Before Tomlin.
I don't count that bullshit because we changed it.
Because you're a Raven fan. I know you're a Raven fan. Nothing you
say here. It's an odd number now. It's bullshit.
You're a Raven fan.
They would have been below.
Tell me why. No. Instead of talking about Aaron Rodgers, Ray, why don't you just tell us how great the Ravens are?
No, man, I'm not that guy. Yeah, they'll be lucky if they win 5 games. I think Mike Tomlin's playing 3D chess.
Do you want to bet?
I think he's signing
over under 5.5 wins.
Man, I'll bet 3 figures. I'll bet good money.
I bet $100 the Steelers win 6 games next year. I don't want to take your money.
I'm here witnessing.
Oh, the Steelers win 6 games. Come on. They probably win 6 of their first 7, or at least they better. The second half of that schedule is tough.
Waiting on you, buddy.
All right, we'll go 20.
That's all you want?
We'll go 20. I don't want to take that much of your money. I'll save it for fantasy football.
So 20, and the bet is what?
Over or under 5.5 wins for the Steelers next year.
Got it.
Andrew, which side of the bet do you like better there?
I don't think the Steelers are doing good, but 5 is low. I was thinking 7, but I don't think they're going to be anything to write home about.
Well, one, Aaron ain't going to play the whole season because it's going to get to the point where the season goes. I don't think he's going to get hurt. I'm not going to be one of those guys that hope that. But I think Tom is playing 3D chess. I think he signed the big name to placate the people, but he really trying to go get little baby Manning. And he knows because you can't tank in Pittsburgh because we don't go and play father. That's the truth. But I gave you the good quarterback.
There's like 3 or 4 really good quarterbacks next year, so you could easily trade up for one of them. Not saying Manning's even going to be the first pick next year.
Yeah, but he still needs 5 wouldn't be first pick anyway if Ray ends up being right.
But do you see my point? He can't tank. So if I go get the big name, super popular name on every episode of SportsCenter and get up and Cowherd and it's not quarterback, and he just boo-boo garbage basura shit, and they lose, I did my job. You can't be mad at me. I signed the guy.
So you really think Tomlin's the fucking Wizard of Oz? Easiest, like, you know, don't look behind the screen.
Easiest $20 ever made. You can consider it. Just consider I just gave you $80, Ray. Let's look at it that way. I was like, hey, you know what, Ray? Here's $80. You can give me 20 in like 4 months.
I'm so confident in this bet. I'll send you the 20 right now.
No, fuck you. Don't do that shit, you jinxing bastard. No. No. If you do, I'm going to consider it partial fantasy football payment.
I do have to pay you that, yeah. I will tell you this, though. I don't like that the division is better. I don't like that. Not because Aaron Rodgers. Fuck them. Fuck them. Well, no, then they can't stop.
I like how you're trying to find an argument right now. Like,
they can't stop a car with a stoplight.
That's true.
Everybody got paid on an offense.
If Aaron Rodgers,
defense, though, that's the problem last year.
Aaron Rodgers stays healthy and that offensive line is even a little bit better. Like, they're going to score points. They're going to score points.
If the Steelers keep TJ, I think that gets them more than 5 wins because the defense can win 5 games. That first, Tony's right, that first half of the schedule sucks. They got fucking the Jets and the Patriots as 2 of them at least. And the Bengals, I think, are in that first half. So,
different league, my boy. Different league.
Just what else? What else? Anything else tickling your fancy here in the NFL offseason? All right, cool. Great.
Shador looking good. I'm happy about that.
The Bengals are so stupid, they're about to lose their first round pick. That's funny.
That's hilarious to me. And that's why I said I don't think the Bengals got better, because the Bengals needed Jesus on the fucking defense. And
that's just not
now good. They're not even paying people.
That's poor ownership over there anyway.
One of the worst owners in the sport. We know this.
Yeah. Have you seen their facility?
All right. Well, we'll continue to bite off little nuggets of the NFL as we ramp up into September, when we really start. That will be leading probably with NFL come NFL season. I mean, that's kind of our jam. We kind of built this kind of trio here off of being interested in the NFL. So,
hey, if I knew how much you were going to glaze Aaron Rodgers, we might have wanted to start with that, because Jesus Christ.
I'm just being honest. Like, it's, you know, I'm a homer. I've grown into being a fan of all my local teams, like, growing up. Wasn't always that way, but now it's like, well, yeah, they're my teams. But if anything, I'm honest about them, I feel like.
On paper, what you're saying makes all the sense in the world. That makes sense when you look at the tape.
I'm just saying, I think that's
kind of where I'm at, too.
Yeah, we'll see. All right.
Rodgers doesn't pass the smell test to me. That's kind of where I'm at.
I'm watching, on my TV right now, is a trailer for something else that pisses Ray off, the new Superman movie coming out July 11th.
Oh, no, I'm not pissed off because there's people not too hyped about it. That makes me happy.
All right, let's take a commercial. When we come back, we're going to get some wrestling. How about that? Right here, Pot is War. Ray Cash, you can follow him at It's Ray Cash. Andrew Belaz, you can follow him at IWC War Chief. I'm PC Tony. Follow me at PC Tony. What's that?
Of Korea.
He is. It's just Korea now? South, I'm hoping? Or you got some or special North. Rodman invitations we don't know about?
That's the point. You know, the bull's in me. I got to love Rodman. And Rodman is best friends with the North Koreans. So, like, I got to rock with that.
My boy went drumline. One band, one sound.
We'll be right
back.
Wow.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. Pod is War right here. I hope you guys enjoyed the sports side of the podcast right there, NBA, NFL. If you are trying to hear some great conversation about the NHL playoffs, please tune in Tuesday morning to Four Corners Podcast. Dave and Patrick got you covered there. A great series going on, tied at 2 as we record. Couple of great overtime games. Florida's dominated one game, so go ahead and make sure you check out the Four Corners podcast.
Did the Oilers pull that one off yesterday? They were down like 3-0 in a blink of an eye, and then they win 5-4. What the fuck?
They matched that 3 goals in the second and pulled it out in overtime again. Let's get into wrestling. Either of you guys check out Worlds Collide Saturday?
What's that?
Yes.
I watched live. I was very, very excited.
I watched on YouTube. I was amused highly by that. Mr. Iguana.
And notoriously, you guys know me well. I do not like Lucha. I enjoyed that show.
It was something fun and different, right? Like, and the way they presented it to you, like kind of introducing to you these different characters, you know, trying to show WWE fans what AAA is about, and at the same time trying to get AAA fans to buy into Peacock because, you know, they had Dom out there, and you ended up getting an extra match on Money in the Bank with Octagon Jr. after that six-man tag. I thought the Iguana and Lince Dorado performing a beautiful set of moves on it was amazing. Like, we can have some theater, right? And the show was, it felt different. It felt AAA. It felt Lucha, Andrew. I mean, I enjoyed that a lot.
I mean, I don't dislike like Lucha as much as some other people, but it's hit or miss depending on who's in it. Like, I think it was weird to kind of put Psycho Clown in an odd like mid-card position when Psycho Clown is like the biggest name in AAA, and it's like Pagano getting all this. Every time there's a fucking American thing, Pagano sucks.
Oh yeah,
like,
and
I hate Pagano.
It. He proved
all
it.
Look.
He proved look. It. He was horrible in the ring, like absolutely horrible.
He's been horrible for a decade, and they still bring him along for shit. Like, I don't fucking get it. Now, even though it's not a AAA thing, like Lola Vice though. Damn, I got. Yeah. I just like that little samba she does. I'm just like, okay, I think
her and Stephanie Vaquer should be like dominating the tag team division as Vaquer Vice.
That's not bad, because when Roxanne Perez was in NXT, I wanted them to be the vice presidents, and that would have popped the shit out of me, but they never made that happen. But the problem with the women's tag match is it also shows me why I hate Lucha, because Dalis and Chic Tormenta,
yeah,
like, they rarely sold. They fucking sandbagged. They stood there and, like, talked shit to Vaquer on, like, that tag. Like, they did all that arrogant, I'm too good to sell for you Lucha shit. And I'm like, fuck you! Like, Vaquer hasn't been in the business as long as you, and she's twice as big of a name, so fuck off. Like,
it's the only way they were going to get any part of being over, though, because they're not great.
Well, that, and remember, Stephanie did a little AAA.
Oh, yeah, and I think she trained with Dalis.
She trained with Dalis, and remember the dude that Stephanie was with that's in jail now. That was a big thing that tore up a lot of the locker room. So maybe there's still residual beef from that.
It could be, but Lucha lets that leak into the product too much. Like, sure. Think about the Sexy Star shit with Rosemary. Think about, like, Vampiro and kind of the meme shit that happened during other Triple Manias. Think about L.A. Park doing anything in Mexico.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Good point.
They don't know how to work and shoot. It just becomes the same fucking thing. And it makes the match look weird sometimes. Sometimes it works well, and it, like, a little stiffness is nice. But, like, that tag match, if it wasn't for the fact that I was just completely in love with Lola Vice, I would have been very mad, like, watching that and trying to actually enjoy, like, women's tag wrestling.
It did its job. The whole point of it was to show Stephanie's the biggest star.
And give Lola a rub
and show that she's up for it because she's never trained in Lucha, so all that was new for her.
I'd give Lola a rub too, if you know what I mean.
Wow. I agree, but wow. I knew shit was real when Mr. Iguana walked out and he kicked Yaleska and
just landed
on my boy's shoulder, and I was like, we are in a different world. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Reminds you of when
Mr. Perfect?
No, yeah, Perfect and the gum or the towel. But recently,
when he did the towel and Bobby Heenan caught it. Yeah. That shit was.
Recently, though, Gunther and with the jacket. Kaiser? Kaiser. Goddamn, I can't believe it. Kaiser.
Or even when Brock threw the mic to Roman.
And Roman caught it.
Yeah, oh yeah, did he snatched? Yes, yes.
What I appreciate about the show was it was unadulterated Lucha, AAA. I appreciated Corey Graves, whose brother works AAA.
Conan.
Conan was great.
Conan was fantastic.
He was, but I just need a little more pep in him. He's just way too chill. Like, he smoked too many before. Like, give me a little bit. Just a little bit.
I liked because he was supposed to be the Mike Tenay. Because if he's too hype, then it loses the fact that he's trying to give you context for who all these people are.
For sure.
And I liked the fact that he was a little more reserved and it wasn't just like, oh, orale, arriba, raza, rara. He wasn't so fucking WCW fucking Conan.
He was El Profesor.
El Profesor.
Yeah. El Profesor. So look, I did not know about this legendary lore between the Pentagons and the Octagons. I just found that out. Did y'all know about this?
Did you not know?
Did you know about Dr. Wagner?
Yes.
And El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr.
See,
yeah, Dr. Wagner the Third. Let's call him that.
I think it's funny though to throw the Spanish big introduction, then go into like white guy voice.
It is Dr. Wagner Jr. Mm-hmm. So apparently, Pentagon and Octagon have been beefing in AAA and Lucha for decades. And these are the most recent versions of them. Pentagon is the dark version of Octagon. Hence the Pentagon 5, which represents homie down south. So
like a pentagram, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why they have the same mask. If you looked at Octagon Jr., it's the same mask Penta wears. Because they're basically the light and the dark of the same character. No different than Sin Cara Azul and Sin Cara Negro.
Okay.
And I thought that was a really cool thing to read. And maybe one day if they could ever touch, that could be a really cool thing to kind of play with the lore. Because that was cool. Because one thing I like about Lucha, the one thing I do like, is it's so historical and it's so much rooted and entrenched in families. El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr., Octagon Jr., El Hijo de Vikingo. Like, everybody's my son, and my son, and my son, and my grandson, and my grandson's grandson, and my cousin, and my nephew, and my...
Even Fantasmo. You know, he was El Hijo de Fantasmo before he lost the mask, and then he came over with Legado.
They love to show that clip of him taking off the mask, too. Like, bro, we get it. He lost.
Because he was attractive. That's the only reason why.
It's old school, it's old school in connecting the lineage, right? Like, and it's global. Like, think about last names. Think about, like, Nordic. Like it's all Johansson and things of that nature and Ericsson and you know it travels. It just the verbs are before the nouns and after the nouns and whatever, you know.
We fanboy over Rock, guys like Rock and Randy Orton and these third generation superstars. Well shit, do the same for El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.
El Hijo de Dr. Wagner, hoodie-ar!
I mean, plus, how many Vianos are we on now? Are they on, like, Viano 8?
Well, there was like, 5 back in WCW as soon as it's a couple more.
That's my point. So we got to be on, like, 15, maybe? I don't know. I'm losing track of Vianos. So many pink masks running around with just different Roman numerals on them.
Let's talk about the main event. Chad Gable and Vikingo was awesome.
That's because that's a perfect clash of styles.
Yes.
Because Chad Gable's fucking great.
I just want to say, I'm real fast. I'm glad they gave him to Vikingo because Vikingo can be a little too flippy, and he was the perfect amount of flippy because of what Chad was able to do. Go ahead.
Great point.
And that was kind of where I was going with it because remember Chad was Pentagon's first match, and Penta didn't look great if that was anybody else. The fact that it was Chad, it covered some of like. The botchy kind of suplex, the shitty like little springboard off the bottom rope that barely looked like it did anything from Pentagon. Like Penta's kind of rough in the ring sometimes, and Chad still made it look good. So Chad is just such a professional, such a great wrestler. I think they would have been stupid giving him anybody else aside from Chad. Like if you want a good match, you give somebody Chad Gable.
Penta gets fucking fired up sometimes and loses himself for a couple seconds. That's what happens. It happens.
Penta
at Money
gets
in the Bank.
Lazy too. Like if you ever have to watch him in a multi-man or a tag match, he will stand on the outside and wait for his spot. He won't even sell. And I'm like, bitch.
He reminds me a lot of La Parka in that one, he could be a little mercurial, and two, he's a luchador, but he's bigger than everybody else. So he tried to do lucha shit. Thank you. He tried to do lucha shit, but like, you 250, my boy.
But sad thing is, Park did it better.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Are we calling them by what his mama called him or what the government called him? What we call him?
I don't know. Like, cause I call him L.A. Park just because that's what he is now, because he's not La Parca anymore.
Yeah, he don't own the gimmick.
You know what I call him? I call him Hoo,
Hoo, Hoo. Oh, see, I thought you were going to go with the deeper cut for WCW and be like, Skull Captain into his ass. Rage is face bumped. He remembered that terrible jive talk and over voice, overdub.
Shout out to the chairman, by the way. So, I think it's gonna work. I really do hope they do more integration. And Triple Mania coming is this weekend, right?
I think so. I haven't watched one in a couple years.
All of them down there. TNA down there, NXT got a couple WWE guys with the Legato. I think it's genius to let Santos and the Garzas be like the face of the WWE version of this.
Well, the Garzas are family, and Santos is Phantasmo. So, like, Hector Garza is a huge fucking name. Like, was money, and it's just fuck. Now I can't remember how that lineage goes. Was Garza related to Silver King?
Silver King, I think, is a Garza. I think it's a
Garza. Yeah. I think they're in the same family. So, like, the Garza family is just like, that's like the Guerreros. That's a lauded family, like we were talking about before. So they work well. Phantasmo goes a deep, you know, deep cut. Octagon's actually on a tag team with Laredo in TNA. So there's a chance that Pentagon and Octagon could see more of each other, because WWE has their hands in the right cookie jar, so to speak. And they're all working together and playing nice right now.
I know Laredo's the whatever that cruiserweight champion is called. I don't think he looked good in that fitter four way. I think everybody else looked fantastic. I don't think he stood out. He's too small compared to those four.
Comparatively, I agree.
All right, let's talk.
You need to give Laredo something, and that didn't help. I agree with you.
All right, let's talk about Saturday night. Let's talk about Money in the Bank. Decent show, better than last year's, which DP and I titled Not So Money in the Bank. Ray and I were talking about, let's start here. Ray and I were talking about the women's Money in the Bank beforehand. I didn't rule Naomi out like I did Julia and Stephanie Vaquer, but I had her like fourth most likely to win. I'm happy she won.
You had Alexa over Naomi?
I thought it was going to be Alexa or Roxanne. I picked Rhea because, like, I liked what I wrote in the article for it.
That was my point. Like, I read the article. I'm like, I don't remember you saying Alexa or Roxy.
No. What the fuck are you talking? Someone asked me the other day about, like, my picks and like, stuff. And I'm like, well, I mean, they're my picks. I have to stick by them. But, like, they kind of round out my article sometimes. Like, if I have a better take on someone and it sounds better when I write it, and somebody else already made a point I want to make, I'm going to do that instead. You know what I'm saying?
Like, booking, I do the same thing. Booking by I go funny, for catchy you know? Or funny. Booking I by quoted funny. Bubba Sparks on my last one. Come the fuck on.
I wrote the article. I know.
I meant it from the point of I don't always take mine seriously either, but Vaquer being Miss New Booty, now, I had to go for that cut.
That being said, it's not an excuse. I hold up to my 10-12 last place record in the chair shot over the first three pay-per-views of this brand new wrestling season, which starts with WrestleMania. I do want to say...
Wait, you're keeping a tally?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I do want to say that the chair shot pick is 17-5 over WrestleMania, Backlash, and Money in the Bank. And one of our 11 panelists is also 17-5. And that would be Ray Cash. DPP is 16-6. And after going 0-4 at Money in the Bank, Patrick is still 15-7 in third place. Andrew, I think you're right there with 14 victories. So
I haven't been keeping track, so I'm glad you have. Because I'm just like, sometimes I just pick shit because I got a funny idea, like the Stephanie Vaquer thing. I think there was good arguments for any of them. Like, some were more surprising than other ones, but I liked all of them in that ladder match, so I just had to pick one.
Respectfully, there was no other choice but Naomi.
I don't dislike
the,
Naomi.
The year she's had, I know, I'm just saying, the year she's had, the way the story has built to it, how she's remade herself and turned herself into like one of the top draws of that division. I don't think there was ever a chance it was anybody else other than Naomi. I didn't even consider another winner.
You know why I didn't initially just pull the gun on Naomi or pull the trigger was the fact that it feels like there could have been the trigger pulled on her a lot during her career. And yes, I realized somebody different was in charge, so that could change the thinking, not the point. But like, she's been right at the precipice to get a good push,
for sure.
She gets passed up. So I didn't trust it. You know what I mean? Like, I thought they'd give it to somebody else when Naomi did, by all rights, deserve it. But I don't have that faith in them doing the right thing. You know what I mean?
Sure. But it's a different gimmick. She's a different person. She's remade herself into a completely different character now.
Oh, I get that.
She was the Glow forever. Even when she was Team Bad, that was still like early Glow. Just, I'm going to be mean while I'm wearing the Glow. Like, she's been that for so long. So
no, I give you that one. Yeah, she has changed a lot more than just an outfit.
Drastically different. Everything about her is different.
You think that TNA run helped her like get a little more creativity or like spread her wings a little more?
Changed her life. Not just the TNA run, the walkout too, because she realized nobody will advocate for you but you.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two best things that ever happened to her career.
The great thing is she didn't fuck up the walkout as bad as Mercedes did. I'm sorry. I can't believe I called her that. Sasher.
Sasher.
Sasher Banks. Never was more relevant than when she was still with WWE and on The Mandalorian, and then she decided, this isn't working for me. Dumbass.
Yes, and then she left for like a year because what, she got hurt or just got sad, whatever, then barely came back, got hurt again. But she was like hurt for 2 or 3 years, and then she came back and sucked. So I'm like, wow, when Willow Nightingale looks better than you do, that's a problem because Willow is fucking awful.
You don't like Willow?
I've never liked Willow. I've seen her live at MLW events when I had to go. But when I went to them and I enjoyed everybody else aside from Willow, I can't stand her.
What you cooking there, Ray? The truth has been set free. Good. The third thing, I'm good at reading backwards. What's up? Something.
I mean, that was like
the, there we go. Put some respect on my name. Did you see his interview with Busted Open?
No,
I hadn't yet. It's
hilarious.
It's
kind of the same shit he did on Raw. But yeah, I mean, listen, you're not in the Chair Shot Radio thread, Ray. Andrew, you are. Did you catch? You didn't catch the back and forth between me and Jason?
You know, I barely chime into that one.
We were arguing about like him being released, and I'm like, we don't know the whole thing. And he's like, they just said he's released. I'm like, that's semantics. He's like, what do you mean by semantics? Tell me. And I'm like, I mean, you're using the words you read, and I'm trying to tell you there's a different situation going on. Do you guys think that this is all part of the plan, or do you really think they're so off the cuff right now?
I think they're completely off the cuff.
I think it was a shoot that he got fired, and then they brought him back like Rockstar Spud style or whatever the fuck his name was in NXT.
He'll forever be Spud.
But you know what I mean. He was like Drake Maverick.
Yeah, but he's
fucking Spud. That's a terrible name. That's why I can't. Spud's not a good name either, but Drake Maverick is worse somehow. But like somehow, like he pulled that. Like everybody chanted for him. Everybody was astonished. People were coming out on like Twitter and everything, surprised. Like there's even. Like, it's taped, but there was fucking chants during TNA's taped episode yesterday, or whenever this goes up. So Thursday, I'll just say. And it's like, they were saying, we want truth during one of the matches. Like, you get people in other companies wanting our truth to show up. Like,
and that's why I think it's a shoot. It's one thing if the fans are upset. All right, we bitch and moan about everything. The roster was pissed.
Yeah.
Every single wrestler who wrestles for that company put out tweets and pictures and videos acting like the dude had died.
Even Stevie Richards did his whole fucking thing about, like, but what the fuck
you
did
guys,
they do?
You guys also know that, like, Truth was informed of this a while ago, and John came in and said, I want to work with him until his contract's up. Like, that happened.
I know it happened.
No.
I think that happened because... Here's the thing. I think a little bit of this was in the works, but I think the firing was still a shoot, because even during his Chris Van Vliet interview, Truth hinted towards it, and he said something like, I'd like to be a heel again. I could be a really good heel, but people haven't seen me as a heel in like a decade. And now it looks like he's going back to run the Truth Killings instead of jokey goofball fucking R-Truth, which I think is great. So I think there was an idea brewing, but I think he was legitimately fired. And this is a Daniel Bryan, a Rockstar Spud kind of vibe.
We need the
word. Released.
He wasn't released. He wasn't released.
They let his contract expire.
His contract was up, and they told him we're not going to use him.
Sure.
Here's the thing about it. We can talk about what we're talking about now for another 15 minutes, because there's a lot to like go back and forth about. But we don't 100% know. And two, more importantly, the thing to talk about is, I feel unfortunate.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
From this point moving forward, not a goddamn thing's going to come of any of this. You just seen the best of it, unfortunately. And that's kind of sad.
You know what the best part about it would be, though? Is if Truth was the one to take the title off of Cena.
It's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen.
Cool, but it's not happening.
I would love that to happen. I brought that idea up first. I was like, let's do it. Wouldn't it be cool? But here's the thing. John Cena's losing the title to one of two people. Cody Rhodes or Money in the Banks from Seth Rollins. That's it. He's not losing to anybody else. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's got to be Cody, because Cody beat Roman. Cody's going to beat Cena. And then at WrestleMania, Cody can beat Rock.
You seem a little annoyed by that.
Yeah, a little bit.
What? That we didn't get Rock and Roman when we should have?
Well, no, sad. Not that.
I'll never be okay with that.
We also never got Gable versus Jason Jordan like you wanted like 6 years ago. Are you sad about that one?
I don't remember that. I remember when Jason Jordan...
he's just like, the dream has no memory of that.
I remember loving the fact of when Jason Jordan was trying to join the Shield, and I would say, like, Jordan, Juliet something, I can't remember what the letters were, and then say Shield. That was great. That was fun stuff, yeah. Talk about people who could have been great without, you know, getting injured right before they could have been great.
Yeah, I mean, hampered by that Angle Sun thing. That should have been Gable. Made no sense to be Jordan.
Still disagree. Hard. It had to be Jordan, because Chad, it's too on the nose for Chad and for Kurt. It was interesting because it wasn't Gable.
Let's talk about Becky. Let's talk about Becky and Bayley.
Donnie doesn't even engage with it.
Let's talk about Becky and Bayley. I think I was right in saying this IC title is a check mark on a bucket list for all the Hall of Famers. It's weird because they're already past the mid-card title, but it didn't come alive until they were already past that point, so they don't want to retire without having it. So at some point, Bayley's going to win this too. The only one I don't see winning it is Charlotte.
Well, no, because she's got like Okada in the New Japan vibes, where anything below the main title is an insult.
She's got
the queen.
She's got Hogan. She got Hogan vibes.
Well, let me take you to something, sister.
Wow. Except she can work.
Hogan vibes? That's dangerous to say in 2025.
Well, she can work and not really talk, and Hogan could talk and not really work.
If that's where you're going with it, I see your point, and that's all I'm going to say. I don't like Charlotte. We all know that. Her work is mediocre.
What's up, a genius?
Oh, I know he loves her, but like she's a fucking charisma vacuum. She talks worse than a kindergartner with fucking Play-Doh in his mouth. Fucking her work's not that good. I have seen better work from dozens of people.
I disagree on all of them.
You're allowed to disagree. That's perfectly fine. Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one.
Well, but we don't believe you. You need more people.
I was going to say, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one, and we're three sitting here, so that makes sense.
But
hated it.
The noise
don't use
box
my
says
thing
you
against
more,
me.
Thanks. You needed more people.
Not a sports fan, huh?
Insert Charlotte for sports.
No.
I don't. The Isaac title is definitely going to be just, you know, a footnote for sure of the Hall of Famers. But what I appreciate about it is there's actually competition in that roster now. And so EO's going to be champion, and I'm pretty sure we're going towards SummerSlam or at least Evolution. Her and Rhea finally having that one-on-one for the title. Remember, Rhea's never beaten EO one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So that can be falling to that story. So if those two, who are legitimately two of the top women in the company, two of the top women in professional wrestling, are feuding over this world championship, then it makes sense everybody else should want another championship, which is why I like the mid-card title.
Yeah.
Lyra, I just think, was the wrong first person. But now we got some theme now, and now we got some story now, and now we got some reasons now.
Yeah. It's interesting, and now and we're gonna do at Night of Champions, we're gonna do King and Queen of the Ring, and we're gonna have title shots at SummerSlam for it too.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see. What does Seth do with the Money in the Bank? It's gotta be Cena, right? Like, he came out in that green suit when John was out there, and then Jay and Gunther had this world championship match at the end of Raw, and not even a trace of Seth Rollins.
Can I tell you what I want to happen?
No. Andrew, what do you think's gonna happen? I just can't Ray come back. Go ahead, Ray. I was waiting all night to do that to one of you guys.
Go ahead. I can wait.
No, I was kidding. Go ahead.
What I want to happen is, you guys remember a fun little show called SummerSlam 2013? Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn,
not specifically,
to win the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
To face Gunther.
Yeah.
Have an epic battle.
Yeah.
Finally win the world championship.
Yeah. Seth?
Burn it down!
So somebody last night, if you know what I do on Thursday nights, brought it up to me that, really? We really took the title off of Jay just so Gunther could beat Goldberg at SummerSlam for the title. I mean, and defend the title successfully and have Goldberg's retirement match. That's what Dan thinks is going to happen.
It ain't going to be at SummerSlam.
The only reason I dislike what Ray said is because that's similar to what Priest did to McIntyre. It's a little too close timeline-wise. I like your callback personally with the whole underdog thing, but the short title reign cash in, like that I think is how the casual general audience would be like, oh, we just saw this like a year or two ago. Kind of,
but
you know,
the
what
difference
I mean?
Was the fans believed that Drew deserved it because he was a dick. Sammy and Drew was already world champion. That wasn't his first title. Sammy has fought for 20 years, 25 mm-hmm. years for this.
Take
and
it right
his
away.
Whole thing. His whole thing in the past year has been, I can't be a world champ. I can't be a world champ. That's what Cross fucks with him about every Monday.
Oh, yeah. So, that's why I said I don't disagree with your reasoning. I just disagree with the casual viewpoint of we just saw a cash in with a short thing.
I get you. I think it'll be different because of the nuance, but it could fall. Someone could see it the same for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't want Seth to get involved with Cena, honestly.
I feel like Seth is gonna get involved to fuck Roman. So like, if Roman gets a shot at Cena during the Cena reign, it's going to be a fuck you Roman moment, because it feels like that's been his gimmick since the triple threat for CM Punk.
Who takes the title off of Cena?
I don't want it to be Cody, but it feels like Cody.
I don't want it to be Cody either.
No, don't tell me, don't factor in what you want. Tell me who you think, knowing the product the way we all know it, and all paying attention to it right now, legitimately tell me what you think is going to happen and who's going to beat Cena. Take your feelings out of it. Give me your best wrestling analysis of people who we are that know all about this product. Well, that's what I want. That's what I want to hear.
Andrade Cien Almas.
Andrew.
Cody Garrett Reynolds Jr.
Right? Andrew doesn't want to say it, but that's the answer.
Yeah, it is. It is. I would prefer something shocking.
Drew McIntyre would be really cool.
And because it's wrestling, you realize there's no such thing as an expert in wrestling, because shit gets changed constantly, and they do shit just for shock value. So we could lay out the most logical reason, and then it could end up being our truth.
Hey, PC Tony, wrestling expert. Nice to meet you.
After just admitting that you write your fucking picks based off of how you're feeling and which way the wind is blowing, that's my point.
I control my personality just the way wrestling controls their fans. You got it.
I agree with you. So, that's why I know what level of seriousness you were going for, Tony. But,
believe in the dude, but, in terms of who's next up to be the top guy, babyface in that company,
LA Knight.
I'd like to see Damian Priest. I know y'all don't believe in him. I know y'all don't believe him. I know y'all don't. I understand.
You want to know what? I just watched him on Cody's bus with the interview.
And you see it now, right?
It helped. I want to see that person out there. I think there's just a little bit more he needs to reveal of himself and put into that character. It's close. It's really close. I'd have Drew take the title off of Cena before. Because Drew's like that guy. Okay, you want to do it to either someone you can't think of that will make sense later on because it's a huge boost, or how much does that solidify Cody there? And what's another guy that you could solidify like that? And it's Drew, considering that his biggest wins, right, are immediately undercut.
So what if
pandemic? Sorry.
What if Cena starts seeing the error of his ways around September, October, starts feeling bad about what he's doing, starts being kind of slightly babyface again, almost showing contrition, and then Drew beats him, and then out comes Travis Scott and The Rock, who said, "You couldn't be who I wanted you to be, so I hitched my horse to a better pony."
Oh, to Drew, sure. Logan,
Drew signed to Project Rock. Drew has is signed to his label or whatever with the merchandise.
I thought that Travis Scott was going to come around this at Money in the Bank, and I felt the easy transition for Travis Scott, considering Cena's not going to be around, is why not be associated with Logan Paul? That would have been perfect. But
Travis Scott versus Ron Troop Killings? That's what we're doing?
That maybe could work.
In Atlanta, Saturday Night's Main Event, we down?
Maybe Truth's bad now. He's with
John. No, Truth can't be bad.
Truth is bad like badass. Truth was always a badass. He was never a bad guy.
All right, don't yell at me.
I don't know. You know who I think would be fun and could maybe even win King of the Ring to make this, depending on who's, I haven't been keeping up with it this last week because of
Max
the
Holiday?
Information.
Max Holiday?
Stop it. Stop it.
Aesop Mitchell?
Dom. Dirty Dom. That could
Sucio.
Be fun. Yeah, Sucio. If he gets King of the Ring, I wouldn't mind him taking it off of Cena. That'd be a big bump that people don't expect.
Ready for Dominic Mysterio, the world champion?
It's not happening.
It doesn't have to even be a though, long run. Even it would though, still be a huge pop, though. Even, people love him as a face.
You know where I wanted WWE to be right now, right? I wanted Roman to still be champ, and this was the Money in the Bank Dom was supposed to win and unexpectedly take it off of Roman at some point.
So we're almost there. We're almost on Booking by Tunney, except it's Cena.
Yeah, I'm not there anymore.
Why not?
It's Booking by Tunney is very fleeting. It's momentary.
Oh, it's fickle? It's fickle, just like booking in real life, which is why there's no experts!
Oops.
Oh no, he did it again.
Fickle!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Delete!
All right, we're back. Momentum.
Glad he's not out of ass for that quote. That would make that a whole lot different.
You took that in my mouth. I was about to say, I came here to chew bubble gum, kick ass, chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of ass.
What if you came there to chew ass and kick bubble gum?
Are you Mr. Perfect now?
No, you'd be on the Diddy trial.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm all out of baby oil.
Oh, that's the worst part. You need the oil.
I think that might be the title of this show. We're all out of baby oil.
Oh, boy.
And Ray's gone.
Ray just left. Ray's done.
How is the call still going?
No, I meant to mute myself.
Oh, okay. We're like, oh, he left. Ray. No baby oil.
See, I was going to say, I wonder if that's why Hammerstone's back in MLW, because there's a shortage on baby oil.
Ouch. Dribbles.
I got to get my baby oil.
He needs to get tanned and jacked and all greased up, baby.
I want my baby oil, baby oil, baby oil. I want my baby oil, baby oil, baby
Chitlis,
oil. I want my
baby oil,
baby oil, baby oil. Enter me from behind, baby oil. I went all in. Sorry.
I bet you did. That's why you needed the baby oil.
Speaking of AEW.
No, we're not.
Say that would be a lead into Tony's favorite show right now.
No. What else we got, guys? Anything?
Even Will Ospreay admitted the product sucks. That was the best part
of
that. Oh,
you could see his
promo face
when he realized what he just said.
Yeah,
too.
The reason AEW sucks right now. Oh, shit, I just said it.
That's a real thing?
Yeah, that's real. He literally started off his argument with the reason it sucks right now is because of Moxley.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, he had a "we're coming for you" moment.
Alex,
we're coming for you. What?
Alex, I'll take things you don't say on TV for $1,000.
Hulk Hogan, that's who they were talking about. They're coming for him. Yes,
not in the
baby oil way.
Was that the whole quote?
I don't remember. I think Sensational Sherry might remember, but she can't talk about it right now.
Ray, can you finish the quote? Andrew, you start the quote, and Ray, you finish the quote.
We're coming for you.
Thanks for listening to me.
Good
you
job, Ray. Yeah, I love it. That was awesome. Oh, you guys, so much fun tonight. I hope everybody listening had a great time. We're coming up on last thing before we get out of here, real quick. We're coming up on like one of the best movie summers, though. I think we really are. Fantastic Four, Superman, Happy Gilmore, just to name a few. The Phoenician Scheme is out right now. There's been a whole bunch of other cool movies out.
Let's Money Talk 45.
What's that? What's that? What was that?
No, that's a good one, Ray. I agree. For anybody that heard it, they probably agree too. That's a good one.
I say I'd listen back, but I won't.
No, you won't.
Andrew, anything you're looking forward to this summer, movie-wise, or something you're excited about that you're watching right now?
Not a lot. Honestly, like you know how I feel about superhero stuff. That's not my jam at the moment. I'm burnt out.
You gonna watch Happy Gilmore too?
I'm not gonna pay money to go see it in the theaters, but if
no,
it comes
out,
like
it's not. It's on Netflix. It's straight on Netflix.
Oh well, then maybe if it's on Netflix, I have Netflix. So obviously, I have Netflix. I watched the Raw. So yeah, maybe I don't know. I'm not a huge nostalgia boner guy. Like. I don't really talk about, oh, my God, they brought back a movie from 30 fucking years ago. I can't wait to see what they're going to do.
What about Spaceballs? What about Spaceballs is coming back in 2027?
But hold on. You're not a big nostalgia boner guy. Are you a big boner guy?
That's behind the Patreon.
We have
right
the adult. We got the adult awards in Vegas this weekend. Is that what you're bringing?
Yeah, you're gonna have to go to that Orange streaming site to find out if that's true or not.
can't go there in Texas. So hopefully you guys are better in Jersey.
No, I apologize about Texas doing that. What, too Catholic down there? The Republicans finally took away the porn.
I will refer you to my governor, Greg Abbott. You have a conversation with that young man.
I mean, you know, just because we're on the topic, it's an interesting concept. Because there was a random fucking video that came on like my YouTube thing about why NTR, which is cuck stuff, like is popular now. And I think, honestly, it got me thinking. I'm like, why is that actually like a popular subcategory at the moment? You think it could just be that younger millennials, Zoomers and younger, are just desensitized by porn because they've had basically high-speed internet their entire life. So they're just used to looking up who they like and watching them do the deed with somebody else so it becomes something that they enjoy, when the older generation used to just kind of fantasize about one person. And you'd kind of flip through the Sears magazine, or you'd find the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. You wouldn't go, I wonder if that person and this person could do it and it'd be fun to watch. You'd be more drilled in and focused on the monogamy aspect instead of enjoying watching the person you like with someone else.
I tune in next week as we have AJ Balazs on to answer that question. A much younger gentleman. No, didn't fly there.
You think he'd actually give a good answer?
That was funny.
I mean, that was funny, but think about who it is. We need somebody better. I don't believe you need more people. You need more friends under 30.
I don't really hang out with people under 30. Because I'm not under
30.
Because I'm not under 30 anymore, and they're annoying.
But they can drink. Shit, you're right. That's why I'm glad he moved to Utah.
Yeah. All right, let's get the hell out of here, because Andrew's asking serious questions about porn.
It actually got me thinking about it. I'm like, fucking A. Like, there could be something to this.
Well, to further this conversation with Andrew Balazs, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you, sir?
On that Orange site, as we've been over, trying to understand and learn why the world is the way it is.
You could find Andrew in a corner watching other people have sex.
Damn right. Well, that's what everybody does nowadays, so fuck, it's not new.
All right, let's get out of here. Where are you at, Drew?
IWC War Chief, Twitter, doing TNA things on the chair shot. Good God. TNA has been rough to watch lately. But
it's going to start covering Raw.
At least the Iconics are back, and I'm using their slave name, not their government name, kind of thing. And Jason Hotch has come out as being a very fantastic talent. He was the highlight of Against All Odds, because that show wasn't. Masha Slamovich is sloppy, and I can't stand her wrestling anymore, so I don't know what the hell's happening with that. Tessa, now I think they're getting smart to a degree, because they paired up Alicia Fox with her, because they kicked out Robert Stone because of him losing to Santino, but Alicia is now kind of coming out with Tessa. So I think that's funny, because the crowd didn't do the whole she's a racist chant, because Alicia was there with Tessa. So I wonder if they're doing that to kind of try to buffer. You know what I mean?
So many thoughts.
Say it then. Say it. They're not good thoughts. They're not thoughts you want to say on the air. Come on. You got it? Are you coming for somebody? Are you going to say AEW sucks right now? No? Why not? Answer me this. Is it more about Tessa or more about Alicia?
I think Tessa.
Oh, no. I thought it was a little half and half. Because really? I had a similar thought that it's an interesting one to pair with Tessa, given some of Alicia's history. So interesting. But yeah, TNA, it's hard to find things to like. But I'm still covering it anyway. So
what do we need Dave for? No?
Sorry,
something else.
I'm fixing it. Yeah,
that was the old one.
But at least there's the NXT version of TNA where all the NXT stuff is fun. First Class is great. Casey Navarro is also one of the highlights of TNA. So the more people get to see him, the better things are.
It is pretty cool that...
Yes, I understand. I understand. I'm not sure if that's why they paired her. You get what I'm saying?
I do, which is why I have nothing to say.
Okay, that's a fair
many
take.
Many thoughts, nothing
I
to
respect
say.
Right. Your silence. I do.
So to recap, follow Andrew at IWC War Chief. Ray, where the hell you at?
Scared to say shit right now. if I'm not over at that orange site, which I can't see, you can go to the site that starts with you and rhymes with corn. That's available.
You found alternates already, pretty.
Oh boy. For research purposes only. Research purposes.
Of course, of course.
But if you want to find me on Elon's tax write-off, I'm at it. It's Ray Cash. You may want to spell it like Mysterio. And cash is kind of similar to the thing that we call dollars.
Dollars. Follow me at PC Tony. You've been listening to Pod is War on Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Thanks for listening. We always enjoy hanging out. We'll catch you sooner than later.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.